different with Podcast 411, the podcast that brings you the 411 on podcasts, podcasters, and podcasting.
Welcome to the May 19th show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 podcast. On today's show, our guest will be Phil Coyne from the Bit Jobs for the Masses podcast. But before we get into the interview, some comments. First, the Queen is finally back in the castle, and that refers to a comment I made way back when I said, content is king, but audio quality is queen. And I had received a couple of emails that said, hey, Rob, your queen is out of the castle. Well, she's back in the castle, folks, or maybe I should say she's finally arrived at the castle. I have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes, buying a lot of equipment, doing a lot of testing to get the audio quality of the interviews up. And I finally feel I have arrived. We have added a new computer, a G5 dual 2.7 gigahertz power Mac, an Alesis Multimix 8 USB mixer. We added a M Audio mobile preamp to have the fan and power to drive the mic, and also via USB bring the audio back into the computer. We also added a Apex 415 condenser mic on an arm with a shock mount and a pop screen. We now have an iRiver IFP 899 for doing the backup recording, and Audio Hijack Pro 2.5 for doing the main recording for the interview. With all that said, I think you're going to notice an improvement in the sound quality in today's interview quite substantially over those in the past. There's still a few digital artifacts in there pops from Skype, but beyond that, I think when we're talking, you'll notice a much smoother, gentler sound, and yes, you can finally throw away your Excedrin for all you loyal listeners that have put up with the sound over the past 39 podcasts. That is the big news there. And don't worry, I will be putting together a tutorial on everything I learned with all the different equipment I've gone through and the pros and cons of all the different equipment I've used over the past 40 podcasts to get to the point where I'm at today, and then the pros and the cons on the equipment that I'm using and the cost and where to find some of this stuff. Finally, I will go out and whore again once more for votes on Podcast Alley, because everyone else seems to be doing it. And even when you hear the biggest names in podcast out there whoring, what the heck, I'm going to go ahead and whore a little bit and vote for us over at Podcast Alley. And I even put a link for the vote right on the main site, www.podcast411.com. I finally put a link on the website for you to go ahead and click on to vote. That's it on the intro. We're going to go ahead and get right into the interview with Phil from Bit Jobs for the Masses. Throw away the Excedrin. Here we go. Well, Phil, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me.
And you can guess what the first question is, and that is, what was your first computer?
I've actually been trying to think, and I was sitting in the bath about 20 minutes ago, racking my brains to find out what it was, and I actually called my dad. Because in my head, the first computer that I had was a 286. I haven't got a clue what make it was. It was a 286 with Windows 3.1. But apparently, my first computer really was a BBC, like a tape thing. It was actually made by the BBC, and they use them still in a lot of primary schools. So that was really my first computer, even though I didn't really know it.
I have to say, that's in the first time I've heard that answer. What was the first podcast you listened to?
First one I listened to was by Steve Lacey, who's the Microsoft guy. I was fiddling around with blogs and stuff. I just sort of discovered them. And I went to this UK blog site and did a little search and came up with his website. And then there was this thing called a podcast. So I downloaded the file and listened to it. And it was basically just him and a talking everyday sort of stuff and playing some music. And I thought, this is something that I've always wanted to do. It's something that I did when I was a kid, and I want to learn more about it. So then I went over to Podcast Alley and just really downloaded as many as I could and listened, and it's never stopped from there.
Okay. Now, today, what podcasts are you listening to on a regular basis?
Regularly, when I can, I listen to The Daily Source Code, Bib and Yaz, yourself, Kimi, and The Twisted Pickle. Those are my regular ones. And then when I feel like it, I just go and randomly click on links at Podcast Alley and see what turns up. And if I like it, I add it to my list of feeds.
Now, tell our listeners about your podcasting format.
It started off really as an experiment. I just wanted to see if I could do it and how it would sound and if anyone would actually listen to it. So the very first podcast was me talking for about an hour and 45 minutes with two randomly chosen top 40 tracks in the middle. Then I did some research and actually found out that that wasn't a good idea to play, you know, licensed stuff on your podcast. So that first show was basically just taken down, and I haven't spoken of it since. But then I did some more research, and I found a site called ukbands.net, which basically has got a really big archive of decent unsigned UK bands. I went through the charts, and there's a real mix of, you know, like acoustic and heavy rock and punk and ska and everything. And I downloaded 5 tracks and then just recorded, and it's really just gone on from there. And hopefully as I go on, I'm learning how to do it a little bit better, trying not to babble on too much and just try and get this independent music over to the other people.
Pippa Rogers, you've played quite a few times.
Yeah.
So she's obviously one of your favorite independent artists. Who are some of the other ones that we can expect to hear in upcoming shows?
Looking back on like the archive shows, I say one through nine are now called like the phase before AMP, basically, which we'll talk about later. I've played quite a few UK bands and stuff. People like Karma, who are like a rock sort of band, which I played those on last night's show, which would be Bit Job 10. And there's also like acoustic-y, more acoustic type bands and artists from around my area, because it's always good to get local people played on the show. And then if there are any interviews and stuff, I can go and see those. But I've also been playing Samantha Murphy quite a bit. She's been really popular with all the other independent music podcasts. But hopefully I'll be playing her. So bands coming up that I'll be playing on the show. Obviously more Pippa Rogers, because I'm really trying to get her across to the US audience, because I know that they're... the majority of my audience isn't from the UK, it's from America. So I'm really trying to play her quite a bit when I can. Not overkilling the tracks, but playing her when I can. And, you know, we've got interviews. I've got another interview coming up with her soon, basically because I like her music and I like what she's doing. But the other bands that I've got are primarily tracks that I've played on past shows, which I've archived. Bands like Karma, which are from the north of England, and they're like a sort of rocky band. And also trying to get some local bands that I've found either through garageband.com or from them actually sending me their work. And also when I've gone to live gigs and seen them and asked for CDs and been really cheeky, they've actually expressed an interest in being interviewed and stuff. So in the future, hopefully more UK-based bands and artists, but still looking around the global sort of independent music and playing things on garageband.com.
I noticed on some previous ones you had a band from Cincinnati. Yesterday's you had someone from a girl from upstate New York. And so it's not just UK bands that you're playing.
No, not at all. Basically, with garageband.com, I try to mix in different nations as much as I can, because I think yesterday I played quite a few American tracks, and then there was one from Denmark, and there was a German the other week. I'm just trying to mix it up and not be biased towards the UK scene, although I probably should be. I'm trying to, you know, because if you keep playing the same bands over and over again, it's going to get quite boring for the listeners, and they're going to get played over and over to death like they do on commercial radio.
One obviously bit of news that you have that's pretty big for your site is you're now a member of AMP.
Yes, very excited about that.
In previous interviews now with yourself, I've had 4 different podcasts from AMP, and it would be Band Tracks, I had Temple of the Down, yourself, and I had CC Chapman on here. But at the time, AMP hadn't existed when I had CC and Band Tracks on. And Temple of the Down wasn't part of it. So you're the first time I get to actually have you describe to our listeners what AMP is all about.
Basically, AMP is a group of people like myself playing independent music. And they've all got one common goal. And that goal is to get independent bands the recognition that they deserve from the music that they're doing. We're about, I think, 20 podcasts in there at the moment, and they've all got varying degrees of style and music that they play. But the formats are ultimately very similar. And I think that's where we're going to succeed in getting what we want to do and getting all the music and the artists played.
Well, congratulations on becoming part of AMP.
Thank you.
Let's not forget, obviously, to tell our listeners where to locate your podcast and website.
Yes. The website is at bitjobs.net. That's bitjobs.net. If you're, you know, that's also my blog as well. So it's got my personal thoughts and things on there. But if you're just interested in the shows and everything, there's a sub-site at mp3.bitjobs.net. And you can just listen to the podcast on there or download them.
You had Pippa Rogers on one of your podcasts as an interview, and you mentioned a little bit about interviewing. So your podcast is not just about playing of the music. It's also about talking to the musicians.
Yes.
Any interviews coming up in the future?
Yeah, actually, glad you mentioned that. I've got...
That's my job. That's what I do.
I know you listened to the show last night, or I'm assuming that you did, and
yes.
I played a track by a group of people from myvirtualband.com, which is basically, you know, it's a group of people that from around the world, and they record different parts of a song and put it together and make it sound really, really cool. I've just emailed the two like creators of that site, and I'm hoping to get like an interview with them in the next week or so, and they'll basically talk about how it started and, you know, how talk me through how some of the tracks evolved. And I think that's going to be a pretty interesting thing, because I'm not that musically talented. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't play really simple tracks on a keyboard, but that's about it. So I would have no real clue about writing the lyrics and playing a guitar and putting it all together. So I think that's going to be interesting for me and hopefully interesting for the listeners.
What hardware are you using to do your podcast with today?
Sadly, I'm using a PC, which I think I bought this computer in December and I started podcasting in March. So I had all the money and everything saved up to buy a computer. And if I'd known about podcasting before December, I would have bought a Mac. But, you know, that's how it goes. I'm using basically a Sound Blaster 5.1 card with my mic plugged directly into it and Audacity sometimes, and then tracks played through Winamp or iTunes, depending on the format. And then the main thing that I really don't like is the post-production. So I'm hopefully going to get a mixer soon. I've sorted the microphone problem out. I was using a really cheap gaming headset, which used to pop like crazy. So I'm getting there, and hopefully it does sound half decent.
I just picked up a new mixer. I got an Alesis Multimix 8 USB mixer. It's about $150. I think you can find them on the internet, $130. I'm using that, and like I mentioned earlier, I got the iRiver, and recording this now on the iRiver at a higher bit rate than what I was recording before. So hopefully people will notice a difference in this podcast.
And your new Mac, courtesy of Pink My Mac.
One other question, obviously, would be, what now that you've gone through and I've heard your sound quality change from the early to where you are today, which is much improved and very, very good quality, what do you think is the biggest piece of advice out of what you've done to offer out to someone podcasting today if they're getting started that you wish you had known when you were starting?
If I had known what I know now when I started, I would have gone out immediately and not spent all my money on drinking and going out to, although I like to call it research, I wouldn't have gone out and whittled all the way my savings and no, like my money and everything. I would have gone out and bought a quality mixer and a very nice mic that didn't pop like that, and just sat down, because I think the one thing that I've heard quite a few times on interviews that you've done is when people say how much work is actually involved in it. And to me, I thought it'd be, you know, like it was back in the day when you recorded on your 2-tape deck cassette recorder, just played the music and talked and messed around. But the post-production and everything, I think the first few shows, you couldn't hear me. You could hear the music fine, but you couldn't hear me. because I hadn't figured out that you could actually mess with the levels once it had all been recorded.
Yeah, I would like to thank you for that headache I got on listening to one of yours. That the volume, I had turned the volume up to hear you, and then when the music kicked in, it was like boom. But now you've got it. Now you've got it very well worked out. I didn't have to do any switching on the later shows.
I think last week I spent a good few hours tweaking and twiddling the knob and basically making me sound audible. Because although I had got it decent sounding, the tracks were still way above my voice. I think I've got it nailed down of what I've got to do and how to level it off and make it sound all nice. But to actually answer your question, basically, I would suggest to everyone to set aside a lot of time and quite a bit of money if they want to get a really nice sounding podcast, and to also think about what you're going to do. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there that just do it and they do it very well. But if you're going to do something like yourself doing interviews, you really got to, I imagine you do a lot of research. And if you're going to talk about a subject, any subject at all, you've got to research and you've got to know what you're going to talk about.
Well, I'm just glad that cell phones are so prevalent, because if they weren't, people wouldn't be able to put up with the sound quality in my interviews.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, I can go off on a soapbox tangent about why people in radio don't understand that podcasting doesn't have to have the same sound quality as broadcast radio. Mm-hmm. It just has to be to the point where it doesn't give the listener a headache.
And I think that's, if everyone could do that, I know there's quite a few shows I listen to where I've got to turn the volume right up to listen to them, and then I know that there's another one queuing up where the sound is always too loud, and I've got to quickly turn it down, because I usually listen to my podcast late at night when I've got some time. So rather than waking up the whole neighbourhood, I've decided to start listening on headphones. One tip that I would give is always make your podcast too loud, because then the user can turn it down if they want to. And that's one thing that I'm trying to do from now on. Just make my podcast really loud, and then I can't be blamed.
I like that advice, because I listen to a lot of podcasts. And when I listen to podcasts in the car, some podcasts, when you're driving down the highway, you just can't hear the podcast, no matter how much you turn it up. Any bit of last advice you'd like to offer out before we go?
Basically, I'd like to take this opportunity to plug the Association of Music Podcasting. Because I've been listening to quite a few of them over the last few days, and I've just been really surprised about, you know, at how different the shows are and how much different music there is. So to go to musicpodcasting.org and check us all out, you see the list of the shows. There's also a feed that will give you the daily, I think they call it the daily spotlight, which is one different AMP show per day. And it basically gives you a real taster of what you can expect when you listen to other AMP shows.
I definitely advise everyone out there to go out and check it out. If you're into music and you like music podcasting, this is the place to find the good music podcasters. Well, Phil, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Phil from the Bit Jobs for the Masses podcast. You can find that podcast at www.bitjobs.net. If you're looking for great independent music, I highly recommend you check out the Bit Job for the Masses podcast. Even if you're not looking for independent music, I still recommend you check it out. Thanks again, Phil, for being on the show. You are a great guest. And if you out there would like to be on the show, please send an email to podcast411@gmail.com. That's podcast411@gmail.com. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to be playing a promo from the Mr. Nice Guy Show. Until the next time, this is Rob reminding you to listen different with Podcast 411.
The Mr. Nice Guy Show. Marv?
Well, we had a finger in our entree, our main dish. Now it's time for a finger for dessert. When is this finger stuff going to stop?
The showbiz news.
The most stupid among us. It would not be showbiz news without some kind of Paris Hilton story. Ashton Kutcher, another lunkhead.
Shush. It's the librarian.
What time is it? Don't look at your watch. I've got a website. A new survey has just been released. 58% of librarians have tattoos. Here I am in a minority again.
News.
The media reacted. They made much too much of it. They'll whore themselves out for any story they can sink their dirty claws into. Clear Channel's get ratings moved a step closer to junk status on Friday. Oh, they're breaking my heart. Thank you, penis growth patch. Apparently this person is talking directly to the patch. Sound like fun? Join me for more at mrniceguy.org, mrniceguy.org. There's so much going on the web, and not all of it is naked people.